This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Some news and not great news from the world of the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting. Steelers place Ben Roethlisberger, a couple others as well. Gerald Hawkins, Jalen Samuels, and Vince Williams on the reserve COVID-19 list. So we will see if he's able to play this week, next week, in the coming weeks. Now, my understanding, Rick, is he does not have COVID, but he was in close contact with someone who did test positive.
Correct.
So we just wait and see. That's where we are now. The waiting game. All right. You know you're big time when you have a sponsor, right? I would think that's the way of the world.
No, when you have your own sponsor and you actually have, and you also have a, you know,
your own drink, your own sponsor. I mean, we're blessed to be graced with the presence.
All over TV. This is the guy.
Of Mike Tenenbaum. Time for the Mike Tenenbaum Report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. How about that, Mike? Your own sponsor.
Wow. I feel like we've arrived.
I feel like you've arrived. I mean, you're big time now. Big time. All right. So let's get there. Should the Jets fan be pleased that they competed last night and lost a game to stay winless and have the number one overall pick, or angry, frustrated, annoyed because that was a win that really you should have had, and at least you'd feel decent about your team today?
You know, Dave, that is a simple question, and what a complicated answer, because that's, you know, this whole thing that started a couple of years ago, Tank Fatua and all the narrative out there. Look, you got your players and coaches that are working their tails off regardless of what's going outside the building, and they really competed. Now, with that said, they had, four plays in the fourth quarter, had the ball for a minute and 24 seconds, and Joe Flacco has to be way smarter than to throw an interception on the first play of the series when you're in control of the game. But they competed. They really looked good last night. And if you want to give the best argument you could for Adam Gase, you would say that was the first time they had Mims, Crowder, and Perryman. Now, the inverse of that is everyone's dealing with stuff this year. You just talked about Roethlisberger and the Steelers, so nobody has had, you know, their full slate of players. But clearly the depth of the Jets has really hurt them this year. And I thought those three receivers looked like NFL receivers last night.
Yeah, NFL receivers. But, Mike, my biggest concern is, and one of the reasons why I'm all set with Adam Gase and this coaching staff is, I mean, the second half of these games, the Jets have been horrendous. I mean, that's unacceptable. I mean, the last three games, they've been all scored 46-7 in the second half.
Yeah, and that comes down typically to, you know, what adjustments are you making at halftime. And Rick, it's a totally fair point. And, you know, they dominated the first half. You know, the score was 20-10, but really, I thought they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I thought Flacco threw the ball well. He had 194 yards before halftime. Great anticipation. I thought Mims really flashed. And to me, what has given most teams success over a long period of time is pass to score and run to win. And I was just disappointed that they didn't try to balance that out in the second half. And it was really the Patriots that had those long grinding drives. But you just knew that New England couldn't make big plays in the passing game. And if they could just keep the ball away, they could shorten the game and get a win.
Mr. T, are the Jets handling the Mekhi Becton situation properly? I mean, he's clearly banged up. He had the shoulder injury going back to the Thursday night game against Denver where he only played five snaps. He only plays the first quarter yesterday. Should they be doing something different with Becton?
You know, Chris, I don't think so. If he's ready to go, he should play. Part of playing in the NFL, Chris, as you well know, for as long as you played at your level, no one's ever going to feel 100% after opening day. And if he's medically cleared, he should be out there. He needs every single rep, and he's a big part of their future. And I don't think putting him on the ice is going to help with that development. So if he's cleared, he should go. If he's not, he should.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We've had the discussion earlier in the show, Mike, and that is if the Jets do wind up with the number one pick and take a Trevor Lawrence, and I imagine that's who it would be if they selected number one. In your mind, is there any real chance, and would this be a move that you realistically would think about doing, and that's keeping Sam Darnold, not trading him right away if you can't get the value that you think is fair for him, and maybe letting him be the quarterback to start next season?
You know, it's funny. We talked about that a little bit on Sunday morning with Chris and Anita Marks, and I don't think you do that from an allocation standpoint. If you could get, I would think, you know, Dave, they got to get at least a second-round pick. If we go back a couple of years ago, Josh Rosen was a top-10 pick. New coach came in Cliff Kingsbury. They took Kyle Murray, and the rest is history. They traded Rosen to Miami for a second. So I think that's probably the market, and there's going to be so many teams that need quarterbacks. And I'm also talking about some of the non-obvious, teams like maybe Denver, Atlanta, New Orleans over the next year or two. So I would think if I'm Joe Douglas, I should be able to get at least a second-round pick. And if you have Trevor Lawrence and you have a traditional off-season program, yeah, I think you just put him in and, you know, put him in that car, you know, fill it up with gas and see him in 10 years.
Mike, what do you do? I mean, if you're Joe Douglas and, you know, Trevor Lawrence does come out of school and all of a sudden he makes a big fuss that he won't play for the New York Jets, if you're Joe Douglas, what do? Do you just draft him and force his hand? Like, what happens if that becomes a conversation?
Yeah, that's really the worst-case scenario if you're the Jets. You know, Rick, there's a number of factors here. One is you could say that he has a bigger impact if there's a coaching search next year than anybody, because what happens if Dabo Swinney goes to Jacksonville or Atlanta or, you know, some other team that may be picking in the top five? There's going to be, you know, a lot of moving pieces behind the scenes. And then, yeah, what happens if he says, I only want to play in the South? Trevor Lawrence is from Georgia, and he may say, look, Jacksonville, Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay over the next 2 years, those are reasonable places I want to live. I don't want to go to the Northeast. Nothing against the Jets or the Jets organization. I just don't like the Northeast. So I think he has unusual leverage, and that's something that's going to really be interesting to see how it plays out in the coming months.
Mr. T, I want to switch over to the Giants. They picked up their second win of the season this weekend, jumped out to a 3-possession lead against Washington in the first half, and they held on to win. But what did you make of that game for the Giants, and in particular, Daniel Jones?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it. He didn't turn the ball over, and they're playing with energy. They're playing with effort. Clearly, they still have some massive deficiencies at, I think, the premium positions, pass rush, corner. But this is a team that clearly, like, they're buying into what the head coach is saying, and it's clear that they're getting better. And when Daniel Jones doesn't turn the ball over, he'll keep them in the game. And I do like their young skill players. You know, I think Slayton has a chance, and if Ingram could just get a little bit more consistent, you can tell why he was a first-round pick.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. How about the offensive line? I mean, we certainly discussed it with you when it was bad, and Andrew Thomas was really, really bad for a while. Looks like he's getting better, and Parrott looks better, and Lemieux looks pretty decent. Like, do you find that the offensive line for Big Blue is improving this season?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, we've talked about this before, guys. There's two things when you draft a player. It's talent and character. And I believe that Andrew Thomas had both, and I praise the pick when they make it, and I still stay behind it. We got to realize that when we're talking about these young players, no off-season program, no training camp, and even though that Andrew Thomas played in the SEC, like, it just doesn't happen overnight. And he's going against grown men who are really bigger and stronger, that have been in, you know, the world's best off-season programs, and it's going to take some time. And, again, I think what's important here is Coach Judge has set the standard. He did it with Golden Tate. He's done it with Andrew Thomas. I think that's really, really important. He's telling people this is where the standard is. And if Daniel Jones, you know, I'm glad he stopped turning the ball over, but at some point I wouldn't be surprised if he sat him down for a week or two, because he's got to say to his players, this is what I stand for, and my standards are uncompromising.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, one of the most exciting games of Week 9 was the Miami-Arizona game. What were your thoughts on Tua's second start?
Yeah, I was encouraged by Tua's athleticism. I thought in short areas he was more elusive than I expected. He made a lot of people miss. And he got a road win, which is, to me, the ultimate mark of a quarterback. So if I'm a Dolphin fan, I thought he took a big step forward, and I'm encouraged between, you know, his first start against the Rams and how he played against Arizona. That was a great football game. You know, it looked like it was going into overtime, and then, you know, that field goal by Gonzalez was just a little bit short. So definitely the arrow up for Tua so far.
Mike, I want to go back to the Giants' offensive line. And Joe Judge is taking a unique approach with rotating guys in and out of the lineup, making sure that he gets Matt Parrott some starts. You see Shane Lemieux playing more now that Will Hernandez is out, but he plans to rotate Lemieux even when Hernandez gets back from COVID. So I just, out of curiosity, what do you make of that the Giants utilizing that strategy? And then what do you think about Matt Parrott in comparison to where Andrew Thomas is right now?
Yeah. So that is a head coach-driven decision, guys, because when you would say suggest that to an offensive line coach, typically they want to go with five guys, create continuity. But I like it. I thought the best coach I've ever seen do that was Rex Ryan when we were at the Jets, which was, if you practiced, you played. And on the defensive side, that's a lot easier to give, you know, the eighth or ninth DB, you know, one or two snaps, or, you know, give them a blitz or something where they're very engaged at practice. And Rex's view of it was very interesting. He said, we'll get more competitive practices and better engagement in meetings if every player knows they have some role. So to see on the offensive line, Chris, is unusual. But Parrott, to me, has earned the right to play. You know, he's strong. I don't know if he's quite the athlete you want ideally, but the fact that those guys know they're going to play in the games, they're going to get better efforts at practice. And I applaud Coach Judge for being, you know, a little bit outside the box.
A very well hydrated Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on a Tuesday morning, 98.7 ESPN. Right, that's correct assumption, right? You're very well hydrated today.
Yeah, Dave, I appreciate you asking. I take X2 Performance, which you go online, x2performance.com. It's an all-natural, healthy, sustained energy, which I know you guys all appreciate.
Oh, you have no idea.
Love the sustained energy. Love it.
Yes. Last one from me, Mike, and that is we go into Sunday night, and everyone thinks, well, Tampa's the best team in the NFC. We finish Sunday night, and Tampa's nowhere near the best team in the NFC. Kind of walk me through halfway through the season in your mind. Who are the best two or three teams in the NFC right now?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, let's just throw out the NFC East, right? And then Green Bay, to me, if you can't stop the run, nothing matters. And I've worked with Coach Pettine, the defense coordinator of Green Bay, and it's surprising, but they really can't stop the run. They've been dominated in some games. So I would have massive concerns about them. Seattle, you know, defensively, it looks horrendous. And, you know, for a Coach Carroll standard, you know, it's just not good enough. And comes back to New Orleans and Tampa. And right now you would say, you know, based on what happened, you would probably say New Orleans gives you the best chance. But my concern with them is Drew Brees looks old. And Coach Parcells used to have a great axiom, guys, which was when we would sign an older player, he would look him in the eye and say, hey, I don't want to find out that you retired, but announced it 2 years later. This is a contract to play, not an IRA. And, you know, with Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, some of these guys look a little bit old. But I would think in one game right now, Dave, I would probably go with the Saints.
Mike, how frustrated do you think Tom Brady is with that coaching staff? I mean, Todd Bowles has been great. I mean, offensive side of the ball. That's a big change for him coming from Bill Belichick to Bruce Arians and that coaching staff.
Yeah, and the thing is, Rick, like, he's such a classy guy. We'll never know. We'll really never know. As Mike Tomlin would say, like when he used to get people would say, "Hey, what do you think about the officiating?" Coach Tomlin would say, "Well, that's only between me and the basement walls." And I think that's probably true for Tom Brady. And I think, you know, for Tom, you know, he's going through something that's a little bit of human nature, which is, you know, he's probably up in Foxborough. It's a cold November, December day, and he thinks about, wow, let me get out of here and get to a warmer place. But, you know, the grass sometimes isn't greener, and Coach Arians has been successful. But, again, it doesn't happen overnight, and we keep saying it. But no off-season program, guys, it matters. Like, we are a game of repetition. We are a game of precision, and it's a work in progress. And even though it looks great on paper, and I applauded Antonio Brown going there, the fact that Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been together as long as they have right now is a massive difference.
Mr. T, we thought that the Vikings were punting on the season a couple of weeks ago when they traded Yannick Ngakoue, but don't look now. They've won two games following their bye week. Do you think that they have a chance at climbing back into the playoff race with this current roster?
I'm not sure, but I think they're one of these teams, Chris, that we've talked about it. You know, they lost their top three corners from a year ago. We knew it was going to take some time, and I think – some teams have really been impacted by no home field advantage. I think about teams like Baltimore, Seattle, and then Minnesota. I've unfortunately been on the other end of some horrendous games up there where the crowd noise, it's a really hard place to win. I just don't know if Kirk Cousins is good enough, you know, when you think about who else is in that division, and I don't think they'll be where, you know, Green Bay is, but, you know, hats off to them that they are definitely playing better.
All right, Mike, we appreciate it. As always, we'll talk to you next week and enjoy the week. Stay healthy, stay hydrated, and we'll talk to you in a week.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thanks.
Absolutely. That, of course, is Mike Tenenbaum and the Mike Tenenbaum Report brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care offers quality, affordable health insurance coverage for children and adults of all ages. Call 1-888-FIDELIS or TTY, text 711, or visit FideliCare.org. So, he's always very good. And, you know, you got to feel a lot better about the Giants' offensive line because that was something that early in the season, Chris, was just abysmal. And over the last couple of weeks, I mean, they look competent, which is nice. You got to feel good about it, and you got to feel good about the coaching with it.
Well, they ran for 166 yards Sunday against the Washington football team. So, I mean, that's a huge step in the right direction. And the majority of those yards, it wasn't Daniel Jones this time. It was Alfred Morris and Wayne Gallman. So it seems like it's trending in the right direction. And Joe Judge mixing and matching different lineups with that offensive line seems to be working. So, I mean, if you can keep that group's trajectory pointed where it's at right now, I mean, you'll feel good about your offensive line going into 21. Now, whether or not you feel good about the quarterback remains to be seen.
But the improved play from the offensive line should benefit Daniel Jones.
Of course. But I think he was still sacked four times this week, wasn't he?
I mean, he did fumble the ball, but he was able to get it, I mean, able to recover it. I mean, that is a little bit concerning, but I mean, he did what he needed to do to win that game. He made the throws he needed to make, and he didn't turn the football over.
I mean, you're plus +5 turnover wise, you better win the football game.
Yeah, I mean, it's you would rather it not be a 3-point game, but tell you, win's a win.
Win's a win. I like, how do you look at the NFC? I just don't know.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough to gauge it, man. I mean, because you thought Tampa was that team, the most well-rounded team, and then all of a sudden they get their teeth kicked in by the Saints in Tampa. Green Bay can't stop the run. Seattle's defense is horrendous.
They're horrendous.
Horrendous.
Isn't that what Steve Young always says, though? You got to wait until around Thanksgiving before you know who the teams really are. So maybe we got to wait a couple of weeks, especially with no preseason. Maybe that's
I wish
just
Thanksgiving
what it is.
Was tomorrow.
It's 2 weeks away.
It's too much time. Way too much time.
So do you still stand by Thanksgiving being the Super Bowl of holidays?
Yeah, it's not
the
even
best.
A question.
It's not even a debate.
Nah, you can't make an argument to me.
I don't even think there's a number two. Number one is clearly Thanksgiving and everything else pales in comparison.
I do kind of, yeah. Whew. But I consider the Super Bowl also a holiday.
Yes.
So I probably put that number two. Because I like giving presents to Christmas. I don't like receiving presents on Christmas. I don't react well to presents.
Well, your mother gets you beautiful, wonderful presents.
She mocks me with her presents. Clearly, she's mocking me with the presents.
What'd she give you, a hair removal kit?
No, she gave me a teeth whitening thing.
Oh, teeth whitening, right.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's brutal.
I mean, that's making a statement with that. That's like Jewish mother kind of a present. Like, that's making a statement without telling you.
Well, it was passive aggressive is what it was.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Would you respect her more if she said, listen, Rick, your teeth are not as white as I think they should be, and maybe you should do something about it? Or say nothing and then get you this as a present?
No, I'd have more respect if she just right to my face said, listen, you got to
right, just said, look, Rick, this could be an issue, and as your mom, I just figured I'd bring it to your attention.
Yeah, like, I mean, at some point, like, I don't know what you're doing to your teeth. They look like the Constitution. Like, I mean, let's brighten those things up.
Wow.
Looks like you barred George Washington's teeth.
But this is what happens, though. This is how she was raised. Like, my grandmother says the nastiest things right to your face. Like, ooh, you look fat. Like, right to your face.
So, but your mother doesn't do that.
No, because that's what her mother says to her.
She just, behind the scenes, doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think she's because, I mean, the whole Mickey Rourke thing, I think is probably something I should stop at some point, but.
Well, then why do you think, I mean, she feels empowered. By you calling her Mickey Rourke on the air and her hearing it, she feels, you know what? All bets are off. Teeth whitening, here you go.
Yeah, but
enjoy this.
At least I shoot her straight. I'm like, hey, you look ridiculous. You got to stop doing this stuff.
Say your mom looks like Mickey Rourke,
you
man.
You can't
under
say
no
that.
Circumstances.
What would you rather me do? What would you rather
say
me do?
Nothing. Just
give her a Secret Santa, like a lip deflator from Secret Santa.
That's what she would do.
Well, I know, but that's not right. I just tell her
for plastic surgery.
So your lips look ridiculous. Look like you should
she
be stuck.
She can
on
be
the...
brutally honest. You can't. Not
your
with
mother.
Her.
I tell
mom,
you, you look like you should be stuck on the side of an aquarium with those lips. Ridiculous.
It's your mother.
Trying to help her. I'm trying to help her out.
No.
She's got dysmorphia. She's got body dysmorphia.
She looks in the mirror and she sees what Janet Jones? I mean,
I don't know what she sees, but she's getting all these injections and everything else.
She's
easy,
big
Dave Rothenberg.
Botox,
you don't need to be laughing for free at Rick's mom. Easy.
Especially with the proximity is to which I live towards to
don't,
your
mom. No. The two of you guys... He makes fun of his own mother, and I'm the bad guy?
You can't be laughing for free, though, Dave. Can't.
No, that's crazy talk.
No.
He's making fun of his own mother.
He can laugh at his mom. You can't.
Oh, I can laugh
at
his mom.
He'll pay for it. Don't worry.
I can laugh. I'm here for the laughs. That's why I like the show.
I usually just swing by Kitchen Cab on my way. A couple iced
coffees. So let me see if I have this correct, Chris. He can make fun of my mother, but I can't make fun of his.
It's different with Rico, Dave.
Well, it's different.
I know what you want me to say.
Yeah, and I also have a close personal relationship.
Listen, I'll treat everybody fair. I'm not going to treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
Rico is just a little bit different.
he needs special rules.
But when he's talking about his mom looking like Mickey Rourke, you shouldn't. That doesn't get.
I don't want him to do it. I tell him all the time, don't do it. It's not comfortable. But if he's going to do it, I
know.
I might
but
as well
then you started
in.
Chiming in like the peanut gallery just now and egging him on. I don't know if that's the right way to go either.
Well, you know what? I don't know what to do. It's like the NFC for Mike Tenenbaum. I just don't know.
Yeah, it just makes us all really uncomfortable.
Yeah, but you think I want my mother to look like that? You don't think that scares the kids? Oh, look, Nan's back in town.
The kids, that's all they know. If your mother looked like the Elephant Man, and they knew it since they're little, that's all they know. I'm sure it doesn't scare the kids.
I mean, I got neighbors walking up asking for autographs. They're like, "Ooh, what's the matter with Nana? Why are you signing the autographs?" It's awkward for the kids. They don't know.
You're a bad guy.
Comes back, her lips are bigger. I mean, cheeks are bigger.
We got to take a break. Let's take a break and let's dive into C.
It's a lot to handle as a 5-year-old.
You're a bad guy. I don't know what else to say. I can't believe you'd say this about your own mother.
I'd say it right to her face. She knows
that doesn't
how
make it any better.
This is for entertainment. What am I supposed to? I'm an open book. I'm telling you exactly what happened.
I want to tell you about this first, and it is important, and we are here for you at 98.7 ESPN. We're thankful for the amazing men and women of the armed forces who have served our country and the incredible sacrifices they've made and they've continuing to make. We want to recognize your loved ones this Veterans Day, so send us an email at 98.7fm@espn.com. Include their name, where they're from, and the branch of military that they represent. Again, that's 98.7fm@espn.com. We will shout out your loved one's name on air this Veterans Day, which is tomorrow, November the 11th, to the men and women who have served and are continuing to serve. 98.7 ESPN thanks you for defending our freedom. So I give you that little read, and now we lead you right into CMT.
All right, here we go, boys. Tuesday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash. Who else is excited for the Masters besides me? Canty, I know you're excited for the Masters.
Chris, I'm sure, is excited. I'll watch it.
It'll
but
be a little
here's
bit
the thing
up.
That's at least for me. Ordinarily, April, final Sunday. Yeah, you know what? I'm really going to watch that. Football Sunday? I mean, come on. How involved am I going to get in the Masters on Sunday?
Tiger.
But you got Thursday and Friday.
Tiger with the lead on Sunday.
And Thursday, Friday, I will certainly keep an eye on it. And even a good bit Saturday. But Sunday, it is... It's off the radar for me on Sunday.
Tiger in the lead on Sunday. You're not watching?
No.
So this is, again,
you would prefer to watch the Jets or the Giants?
Yes.
Awful TV
setup. I watch all the games. I got five games at 4 o'clock on Sunday. No, listen, you want me to lie to you? If Tiger is up by 11 strokes on Sunday, I am watching football.
Well, that was a terrible example. If he's up by 11 strokes, I mean, that's, you can check back in. I'm saying if he's got he's up a stroke.
No.
Headed onto the back.
Down one, tied, playoff. No, not watching it.
You got to update your TV situation.
Not watching it. Not only am I not watching it, I don't have any interest. I don't care.
So what's going to happen on Monday if we ask you? If Tiger's in the lead, coming down the stretch, and you're not watching it, how are we going to do a show on Monday?
How much time do you think we're going to devote to Tiger on Monday?
As much as Canty and I want to devote.
And you know what? Secondarily, if that happens, it's not like I will be inept on Monday. I will watch highlights. I will watch the recap, but I'm just not going to watch it live.
Canty and I start the show on Monday morning. Can you believe what happened on 18?
Good. Then you guys can carry the conversation, and I'll be quiet.
You're just going to lay out?
I'll just lay out.
Wow.
I might even just say, I didn't watch it because I have no interest. You guys carry it, and I will be back when you talk.
But here's the thing, though, Dave. You only have to worry about one local football team this weekend because the Jets are on their bye week.
Yeah, but that's a big worry. I mean, the Giants have a big game.
It is a big game. You're right.
There's five games in the 1 o'clock window and five in the 4 o'clock window. I'm sorry. Golf does not make it into the rotation. Just doesn't.
Okay. Fair enough.
You could just give us the, why don't you tell me what happened on 18?
Yeah. Why don't you tell me how Tiger Woods did yesterday?
All right, here we go. CMT. Let's get started.
Let's
NFL
started.
Edition with a little bit of the Mets sprinkled in.
A little flyer.
Steve Cohen. Here we go. Best today. Week 9 win. Bills beating up on Seattle. The Saints destroying the Bucks, or the Ravens bouncing back against the Colts.
And you don't have the Giants in here?
No.
Okay.
You want me to lead off, Dave, or you got it?
Whatever you want. It's your birthday. I'd like you to do what you like.
Okay. All right. I'm going to start out by doing something I don't like to do. Ordinarily, I always want to big up Baltimore, but I'm going to trash the Ravens win on Sunday. Even though it was Lamar Jackson's first come-from-behind win when they were down at halftime, there's something about it. I don't know. It just wasn't impressive, and maybe that has more to do with the Colts team than anything else. So I'm going to trash that one. I am going to actually marry the Saints win over the Bucs. First of all, they've beaten the Bucs twice this year, so I think that's huge when you start talking about the NFC South race. But also from a psychological standpoint in surveying the landscape of the conference, I thought the Bucs were the best team in the NFC. Clearly that's not the case after the Saints dismantled them. And so you could absolutely make a case, even though Drew Brees is a little bit past it, that the Bucs are the best team in the conference. So I'm going to marry that one. And I'm going to cuddle up to the win that the Bills had against the Seahawks. I thought the win that they had against the Patriots the week before was bigger. But, I mean, you can't slight them when they hang 44 points on the Seahawks. That's the most points any team has ever put on a Pete Carroll coach team. So I'm going to cuddle that one.
I'm just going to agree
fallacious
across the board. I mean, the Ravens win, good win, doesn't wow me. The Saints win, sensational. And the Bills win, impressive, cuddle worthy. And there you have my trio.
All right, here we go. Through week 9, AFC teams that could make their way into the playoffs. I'm going to include the team that currently holds the 7th spot, that extra wild card spot. So AFC, Dolphins, Browns, Colts.
All right. I'm just not a believer. And I know that they're 5-3, and I know that it sounds like Nick Chubb might come back this week, but I just don't buy into Cleveland. They don't have Beckham. They're not great. They find ways to lose. I'm unimpressed. I'll trash Cleveland.
Look at this garbage. Look at this garbage.
Boy, this is a tough one now. I just don't trust Phillip Rivers. So I think they'll get in, but I don't love them. I'll cuddle the Colts. And looking at Miami's upcoming schedule and how well they've played and their defense and what they have going on down there, I will marry the Miami Dolphins.
Wow.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I can disagree with Dave on this one. I mean, out of the three teams, the Dolphins are the only one that I think is capable of making a run at the division, so you kind of have to marry them. The Browns, they still got dates ahead of them with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. I don't know. So I probably would trash them. And the Colts, I like their team except for their quarterback. I tell you guys all the time, that train isn't late when it comes to Phillip Rivers and turnovers. So I'll cuddle them begrudgingly, but I don't like seeds.
You guys are boring me right now. All right, NFC.
What do you want from us?
You want us to make show friction? It doesn't exist.
Create some friction, Dave. Create some friction. The Rams, the Bears, I'm not going to include the Niners because their team's a mess. I know Canty loves the Vikings, so I'm going to give you the Rams, the Bears, and the Vikings in the NFC.
And the same question?
Same exact question, so you guys can agree again.
Rams, Bears, Vikings. Well, you know, maybe that's on the questioner. Maybe that's on the host of the segment, giving us questions that are so obvious to both of us.
Oh, man. Okay, this one, Rico, is... this is fairly easy for me. I mean, out of these teams, I'm going to marry the Rams making the playoffs. I trust their coach. They already got 5 wins. Even though they're in the most competitive division in football, I still believe in what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that Sean McVay can cover up the deficiencies of Jared Goff enough where it doesn't cost them an opportunity to crack the postseason. So I'm going to marry them. I am actually going to cuddle the Bears,
Vikings.
I'm going to cuddle the Bears. And listen, I probably like the way that the Vikings are playing a lot more than I like the way the Bears are playing. But, I mean, guys, the Bears already got 5 wins in the bank. And when you look at their schedule after the bye week, they got some winnable games. I mean, they got the Lions, they got the Texans, they got the Jaguars. I mean, they should be at a minimum an 8-win team, if not more. So I feel like that would be good enough in the NFC to get them in. So I'm going to cuddle them, and I'm going to trash the Vikes.
Look at this garbage!
All right, Rick, you have a disagreement finally. I'll agree with Chris and marry the Rams. I think that's the obvious of those three.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Record-wise, the Bears would potentially be the cuddle, but I watched that game against Tennessee. They're unwatchable. That's not a good football team.
They're bad.
They play Minnesota this
really
week.
Bad.
They play Minnesota this week. If Minnesota wins that game, and I give them a really good chance to do so, I think they're in the driver's seat to actually leapfrog Chicago and go to the postseason. So I will cuddle Minnesota.
And
I hate this Bears team. I will trash them.
All right, here we go. Best offensive player that is not a quarterback. Best offensive player currently, right now, through 9 weeks. Dalvin Cook, Davante Adams, Alvin Kamara.
All right, so it's based on what I've seen of 9 weeks of football, yes?
Correct.
Or thereabouts, because I know Cook and Adams have missed time. I'm going to marry Dalvin Cook.
I watched him play football. And marry them.
He's otherworldly right now. I will cuddle Davante Adams.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And, yeah, I'll say it. In this trio, and in this trio only, I will trash Alvin Kamara.
This garbage! Look at this garbage!
Well, one man's trash is another one's treasure. I'm going to marry Alvin Kamara.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry
him. There's nothing that he can't do with the ball in his hands. Running back, split him out, run routes like a receiver. There's nothing that he can't do. So, yeah, I'm going to marry Alvin Kamara.
I'm excited to see who you're going to trash of this trio.
Well, I'm going to cuddle Davante Adams. Bombs, I know he said it after the Thursday night game that he was the best receiver in the NFL. And, Dave, you'd be hard-pressed to make a case against him the way that he's playing. I mean, he is balling. I mean, lights out. So I'm gonna cuddle Davante Adams, and I'm going to trash Dalvin Cook.
Firmly garbage. Look at this garbage.
Rick, just for my own knowledge, where would you go with that?
Where would I go with that?
Yeah.
I would probably go the same way you went, the way Dalvin Cook is playing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's a different speed than everyone else right now.
He's unbelievable. All right, whenever you're ready, by the way, not to take the onus away from you, but I have a lot that the listeners...
All right, last one for me. Yeah. Last one for me, Mets related, just because this is in honor of Steve Cohen. Press conference today at 12:30. I only went free agents. Trevor Bauer, JT Realmuto, George Springer, who you want?
Bauer, Realmuto, Springer. Chris, you're up.
As a Mets fan...
Yeah, if you're a Mets
fan. You guys as Mets fans?
Yeah.
Who should you want? Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this. I think it makes the most sense to go out there and get Trevor Bauer. I mean, you got to get return on investment on Jacob deGrom. You signed him to that contract extension a few years ago. You need to have that other guy that can provide that 1-2 punch at the top of your rotation. So Trevor Bauer would be my first priority. I'd marry him. I'd cuddle George Springer because you need to be better defensively. You can plug him in at center field. You don't have to worry about him. And then I will trash JT Realmuto just because I think you have better value in terms of the other options that you could turn to. Like, you could do other things outside of devoting all of those resources to Realmuto.
All right, I'm going to disagree a little bit. I'm going to just go the order you presented him. I'll marry Bauer. I will cuddle the catcher, Realmuto. And I will trash. I'd love to have him. But of that trio, I will trash George Springer.
All right, you're up, David.
All right, let's go rapid fire. We got a bunch of these. Gio wants to know, Burrow, Herbert, Tua. Burrow, Herbert, Tua. Cuddle, marry, trash.
I'd marry Burrow, cuddle Herbert, and trash Tua.
All right, in the order. Chris?
I would marry Burrow, cuddle Tua, trash Herbert.
All right, trash Herbert. Oh, boy. All right. All three look good. Corey Deeb wants to know, CMT, Jeopardy, The Wheel, or The Price is Right? Jeopardy... The Wheel, or The Price is Right.
In honor of, I actually had an emotional response to like seeing that he passed.
I was so upset.
I'm a Marion Jeopardy. And you lose him, and you lost Sean Connery, too.
Within like a month?
Which is one of the best SNL skits of all time, the Jeopardy skit. I'll marry, in honor of my grandmother who loves The Price is Right, I'll cuddle Price is Right, and I have to trash one, so I'll trash The Wheel.
Yeah, same here. Same here, no difference.
All right. Steve Prisco wants to know, better career, similar to what we had, but one change. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. So now Lawrence is in the mix. Better career.
I got to go with Trevor Lawrence. Just the upside, I think, is higher than the other guys. I am going to cuddle Joe Burrow. I just trust what my eyes tell me. And I feel like Justin Fields, out of all of them, has the most bust potential. So I'll trash that.
They're all in such bad teams. You said Herbert, not Fields, right?
Lawrence, Herbert, and Burrow.
Lawrence Herbert.
Okay, Lawrence Herbert. Yeah, well, same thing. I'm gonna trash Herbert.
I don't know if Justin Lawrence goes to the. I guess I would. I'm reverse psychology here. I'm going. I would marry Burrow, cuddle Herbert, and trash Lawrence.
Trash Lawrence.
He gets drafted by the Jets, man.
Oh, you are so negative.
Yeah, you're negative.
How can I be positive?
I'm positive you're going to get a. I mean, this is the highest ranked quarterback since Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and they ruined, and somehow Indy got Andrew Luck to retire early because they beat him to death.
But don't be so negative. This is it. It's turning around for you after this season.
But you said Andrew Luck was great. Yeah, they got to an AFC Championship game. Did he win a Super Bowl?
No.
No, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
But your offensive line is already better than the offensive line he was playing with.
It doesn't matter. We thought that Sam Darnold was going to be the guy. And they've ruined him.
Yeah, they did screw that up. We'll give you that. Last one for CMT. Most disappointing running back this season. And Santiago, you can participate if you'd like as well. Melvin Gordon, David Montgomery, or Mr. Half-Shirt himself, Ezekiel Elliott.
He's such a... I mean, you're the biggest troll I know.
How am I a troll? I'm asking a question. Bert7979 posed the question. I'm just the intermediary.
In all honesty, you can just say Zeke and move on.
Yeah, exactly.
There you have it. Zeke and move on. Feed me. Zeke and move on.
Zeke and... Oh, okay. There you go. And that's another beautiful rendition of CMT.
I love how you pretend like you're confident that even if the Jets get Trevor Lawrence... Like he's going to blossom into this unbelievable quarterback.
You have more first round picks than you know what to do with. You're gonna have the best prospect at the quarterback position in a decade plus. Yes, if you're ever going to believe that it could possibly turn around, doesn't this have to be the time?
It has to be. But you haven't even seen he hadn't even taken a snap yet in the NFL.
We don't even know who the head coach is going to be.
Exactly.
Either. We have no idea.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.